Thank you. You may be seated. It's nice just to be up here and look around, isn't it? You can't do that, though, usually, to see who's all here. Kind of week they've had, you can tell by their face sometimes what kind of week people have had. Some people had a great week and some people had a terrible week. But God's there in all of it, isn't he? The good and the bad. We had a service for Shirley this week, which went really well. The family was here, we shared stories, we laughed, and we mourned, and we celebrated. We had a lot of different emotions going on, but it was a good memory of Shirley. And every time you have a Christian funeral, you know you're going to see him again. That's a joy and hope that we have. She's not gone for good. She's just gone for now. And she's gone ahead, and we're going to see her again. Continue to pray for the war in Ukraine. I'm sure you probably have been, but continue to pray for those people that are there. There are all kinds of atrocities happening now where they're bombing, you know, schools and hospitals and all kinds of things. So God knows it's happening. We just keep praying for intervention, that he's going to intervene, and he knows the end result. You know, the end times talks about wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing those happening, aren't we? We don't know when the end's going to be, but we need to be ready for whenever that is. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does. I'll just give you a little precursor this morning. Can't cover everything, okay? So if there's something you question, how come we didn't cover that? Go home and look it up. That's what I'd say to you. If I don't cover everything you think I should cover about the Holy Spirit, then that's your chance to go and study and look it up. I can't tell you everything. I mean, I can talk fast, but I can't get all of it in a short amount of time. So, anybody have any praises this morning? What God's been doing? Is there anybody in the parking lot? No. Yes or no? Okay, then we don't need the other mic.
Yes, there.
Okay, we do need the mic.
I just wanted to praise the Lord for my mother. She turned 97 this week,
oh,
and
wow.
We were able to celebrate her birthday, and she had a good day, and we so really enjoyed it, and I'm just thankful to still have her.
Good. 97.
I want to praise, that's loud, I control that. I want to praise God for my youngest daughter. She got a wedding proposal on Wednesday, so that's going to happen sometime this year, I think on September 17th, so we'll see. I don't know, but I just want to praise the Lord for the people in my life. I want to praise the Lord for my wife working at the Emmaus retreat this weekend. It's amazing when you get a bunch of believers together how the Holy Spirit works. So, mm-hmm. So Jesus is real special on my mind today.
Anybody else? How about prayer requests? Do we have any prayer requests this morning?
I asked for prayer a few weeks ago for my nephew who is dealing with alcoholism, and the Lord's really answering our prayers because he has not had anything to drink for at least 3 months. He's still living with his parents. He's going to counseling, and he's doing much, much better. So
good.
I'm really thankful for that.
Good.
Ask again for a prayer for my sister-in-law, Cheryl Cherry. She's out of the hospital now, but she's in chemo. And the prognosis isn't good, but we'll see how the chemo does.
Okay. So her sister-in-law, John's sister-in-law.
Amen.
Pam, would you stop doing that? Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, just thank you for being with us this morning, Lord. You've heard these requests for the alcoholism recovery and for chemo and cancer tests and results, and prognosis doesn't look good, but we know you can do anything, Lord. We know you can heal if that's your desire to heal here or to heal in heaven. We know you bring ultimate healing to us physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, relationally, whatever that is. You can heal all those situations. We would ask for that this morning. God, guide and direct us as we seek to know you better. Father, be with those people in not only Ukraine, but there's other countries where people are suffering and being tormented and tortured and persecuted for their faith as well. So we just pray you'd be with them and you would bring them through, give them hope, give them peace. Father, be with those around this area, Lord, that are struggling, not only in the church, but in our community, in our county, in our state, in our country. Lord, those that are struggling against the world. So we just pray for them this morning that they may know who you are and be able to find power through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. So, Father, give us your direction. Thank you for being with those who've been sick, that are getting well. Continue to be with those who struggle and help them also. But Lord, we pray most of all for salvation, for those who don't know you, to come to know you as our Lord and Savior. We give you the praise in your name. Amen.
Good morning, church. You know, I always have to talk to you before I sing. And my dear friend Shirley, who just left us and flew away to heaven to be with Jesus, she used to say to me, "Chris, you don't just sing a song, you tell a song." So I want to sort of sing and tell you this song, and it's dedicated to my friend Shirley and to all my friends that have been in the family of God here and who have flown away to Jesus. And I just want to dedicate this to them.
Thank you.
to be like Shirley, who had given her heart and her soul to Jesus years ago. And so one day, we need to look forward to flying to Jesus. And I know you know this song, and I want you to help me sing.
Thanks, Chris and Pam. That's one of my favorite songs. Always keep it in your mind that you're going to fly away someday. Well, what does the Holy Spirit do? That's the question we're looking at this morning. You ever heard something that you questioned? Just watch the news. You'll be questioning things all the time, won't you? It didn't make sense. You didn't understand it. You couldn't explain it. We have questions sometimes we can't answer or need help. And here are a few questions from kids. Now think about these. How did people make the first tools if they didn't have any tools? That's a kid's question, but it's a pretty deep question, isn't it? Why is the moon called the moon? What did it feel like on your last day of being a child? Some of us don't know because we've never had that last day yet, have we? And here's the last question to contemplate for you today. Why don't crabs have eyebrows? All these questions we think about, kids think about these things pretty deeply. I've never thought about that question before. But sometimes things happen in the Bible when we read it and we don't understand it, we can't explain it. But most time, there's an answer or an explanation, but we just need to look for it, don't we? It's there. We don't always find it and see it. The passage we're going to look at today has that potential. There are a few things we're going to look at this morning that may seem puzzling, but hopefully by the time we're done, they'll be a little bit more clear. So if you look in the book of Acts, chapter 8, I'm going to read 9 through 17 when we're finished. But now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people both high and low gave him their attention, exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. So let's just stop for a minute. Here's a man that's practicing sorcery, but he's proclaimed to be something great called the power of God. People think he's great because of his sorcery, but if you look at sorcery, it says it's something that's gained or assistance from evil spirits, especially divining. Or divining can also be called foretelling, predicting, prophesying, forecasting, or foreseeing. It's also used for necromancy, which means contacting the dead. So you think that power is coming from God that he's doing, that he's using? We think things happen all the time that we know are not from God. People have these great powers or great visions, they say, but we know they're not from the Lord. No matter how good it may look, we know it's not God's power. You need to stay away from those kind of things. But they thought this guy was doing great things. And he was, but it wasn't things for the Lord. Verse 12 says, "But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw." So the good news of Christ enabled people to see the things of God, to no longer be deceived, and give themselves to the Lord. So sometimes the Lord opens our eyes, doesn't he? The Holy Spirit does that for us. He opens our eyes to things that are not right, not true, not godly, even though people around are deceived. And they may say, "Isn't this person great?" And you're like, "Nah, something's wrong." You ever had that feeling with somebody? You meet somebody, you're like, "Yeah, something's just not right about that person." Everybody else is saying, "Oh, they're so great and wonderful." And you're like, "Yeah, something's wrong." Then you find out later on something was really wrong, and God kind of pricked your heart and let you know that. But they were baptized as a public witness to their salvation through Christ. A baptism doesn't save us, does it? Just because you're baptized doesn't mean you're saved. Some people just get wet, right? Some people come up with a new life, a new experience. But it says Simon believed and was baptized, but that doesn't mean he was saved. It doesn't mean that he was a follower of Christ. At this point, he was going a different direction. But we're going to find an answer to Simon why he didn't receive the Holy Spirit at that time. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. It's kind of a new thing to hear about, isn't it? We think about it today, and the Holy Spirit comes on us when we're saved, but it didn't happen in this case. So it was really intriguing to me to look at this. It said they simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So we're at the question of this morning, why didn't the believers in Samaria receive the Holy Spirit when they accepted Christ? Good question, isn't it? Good thing to look at. In Acts 12, we just read that a group of Samaritans believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of God in the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women. And Acts 16 says the Holy Spirit hadn't come on them yet. They've simply been baptized in the name of the Lord. Well, we know today that when we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in our lives, right? Romans 8, 9, 11 says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and anyone lives in you, and anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give your life, give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. So when we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. So how was it the Samaritans who Philip baptized didn't receive the Holy Spirit? Was there something wrong? Something wrong in that situation? No, there's more to the story. The book of Acts, it's a history of how God started the church. It's a record of the transition between the old and new covenant. So the way the Samaritans received the Spirit was an accurate account of what happened, but it shouldn't be the norm. They believed they were baptized, but they didn't receive it until hands were placed on them. So the Spirit didn't come on the Samaritans until Apostle Paul or Peter and John were present. So why did God wait for Peter and John to be present? Here could be the answer. Now, I don't say that I know everything, so you can look it up for yourself, but this is what I'm thinking is right. Peter was a key figure. In Matthew 16, Jesus says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't overcome it, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. So Peter, in the sense, is being used to build the church. He was present at Pentecost when the Spirit was given to the Jews. Maybe he needed to be present in Samaria when the Spirit was given to the Samaritans. Think about that. Situation transition is happening. Maybe Peter and John needed to be there for the official start of the church in Samaria, because they'd been at Jerusalem when the Jewish church started. Maybe Peter and John being in Samaria, ushered in the Holy Spirit, would unify the early church, because you had Jews and Gentiles that weren't on the same page, right? There's animosity between the two. It talks about it in John 4, 9. If the church in Samaria had begun on its own with no connection to the Jewish church, the church in Jerusalem maybe never would have accepted the church in Samaria. Maybe they would have seen we're just two different churches. We see that sometimes today, actually, when churches split, don't we? They're one church, but they split over some reason, which is usually not if Jesus is Lord. That's probably one of the reasons that we only should split on is we don't believe Christ is Lord. That's our main foundation, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He died to save us. The rest is different doctrines we have and different issues, but we should be able to come to agreement at least that Christ is Lord. So the Samaritans were known historically as corruptors of Judaism. So maybe God made sure that Peter and John were there, were present to witness the gift of the Holy Spirit to the Samaritans and give them God's message, so that the Samaritans wouldn't be seen as a heretical startup church. So the Jews could see Peter and John were here when the Holy Spirit came, and Peter and John were here when the Holy Spirit came. The same Holy Spirit came on both groups, which would make it all one church. So So maybe that's why they had to be there. Maybe that's why the Holy Spirit wasn't given until then, so that people could see we got it from Peter and John, and we got it from Peter and John, and we're the same. So there wasn't a split and a division. So Peter and John were not only eyewitnesses to the filling, but they helped usher him in. So there was a clear testimony that this was God moving in both places through these men of God. Seems the Lord took pains to make sure the early church was united. And Jesus commanded them to preach Samaria and the whole world, right? Sometimes it's good for us to be able to preach the gospel where we are, who we are. And everybody can't do that. You're made for a certain position, a certain place where God's going to use you to witness to certain people. Just like the Samaritans could and like the Jews could. But we're all still part of the same body of Christ. We're all still the family of God. There may be somebody in your family that you want to minister to, but they won't listen to you. Ever had that happen? They'll go to school and the teacher said this, and you're like, I already told you that. Yeah, but the teacher told me that. Sometimes they need to hear from somewhere else or somebody else. Maybe you're in that position. The Holy Spirit's going to use you to minister to somebody else that you're supposed to speak to, because the one that wants to maybe won't be able to. So Philip obeyed the command to share the good news, and many believed. Whatever animosity existed between the Jew and the Samaritans was overcome by the unity of the Holy Spirit. It didn't say they had a picnic. Didn't say they had lunch together. Didn't say they threw a party. It said the Holy Spirit is what's going to unify us, right? The Holy Spirit brings us together. First Corinthians 12:13 says, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink." So it's the same Holy Spirit for all of us. When we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives now. That was the time when the church was being built, being united, being drawn together. But now He gives us the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ into our lives. Billy Graham said a few things. He said, "The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's a Him, it's a being, it's a person. He's not something, He's someone. He's God and He's part of the Trinity." So some people think the Holy Spirit's an it. It's not an it, it's a person. He's a person, right? He's part of the Holy Spirit. One thing I didn't talk about in here that's coming up is that He intercedes for us when we pray. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. Or we've prayed and prayed and prayed. We're like, I don't know what else I can say. And the Holy Spirit then prays for us. When we anguish, when we are in grief, when we're in pain, we don't know what else to do, the Holy Spirit goes on ahead of us. And sometimes in those situations, when you feel like you can't go on, you somehow, find the strength, don't you? That somehow is through the Holy Spirit giving us strength. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's all-powerful. And Micah 3:8 says, "I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord." So He's able to give us power beyond ourselves to do what needs to be done. If you're a new mother, you're experiencing that, aren't you? Or if you've been a mother, you experience that when you're up with your kids all night and you're just like, I cannot go on. And the kids still need to do something. You're like, I just have to. You kind of get a feeling what that's like to go through. Or if you're caring for somebody, the echo is, if you're caring for somebody that's sick and they stay sick and you have to keep caring and caring and caring, you know what that's like to have strength to go on, or something you feel like you just can't do and you get through it and you know God got you there. Bible says the Spirit is present everywhere, which is called omnipresent. He can be everywhere. We can't do that, can we? We'd like to do that. You'd like to be everywhere at all times. Especially if you have kids, you'd like to be with this one and that one and this one and do all these things, but you just can't do it. There's only one of you, but He can do it. No matter where we go, He's there. Psalm 139, "Where can I go from Your Spirit, or where can I flee from Your presence?" Whether we're 1,000 miles away or whether right next to it, He's always with us. Spirit has all knowledge. Bible says the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. He teaches us and helps us go deeper in God's truth so we can grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. But only through the Holy Spirit can that happen. There are people that have studied the Bible over and over and over again and got nothing out of it. Because they think of it just a book, just history, just a story, just sounds good. But when you believe it and know that it's true and ask God to open your eyes to see things, He can help you see new things. You can read a verse one time and then read it later and say, I never saw that before. Anybody ever done that? You think, where'd that come from? Was that in there last time I read this? But it's there. The moment we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in our lives. 1 Corinthians 3:16, our body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us live the Christian life. Can you be a Christian without the Holy Spirit? By name, right? You can call yourself that. It says when you receive Christ, when you truly receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And your body becomes a temple. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our minds. Sometimes we wish He didn't, right? Whatever happens. But He knows what's there, and He still loves and cares for us, and He says, taps you on the shoulder, probably not where you want to go with that thought. You really shouldn't be thinking that. You might want to change your perspective on this. Nothing's hidden. Hebrews 9:14, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is eternal. Can you have a concept of what eternal means? Do we have anything on this earth that's eternal? Not your house, not your car, not your money, not your clothes, not your friends. Nothing is eternal except Him. The Holy Spirit's eternal. He's going to last forever. When you have Him in your life, what does that mean for you? You're eternal. You're going to last forever with Him in heaven. Spirit is called holy, and we're supposed to be called holy. 1 Peter 1:16 says, be holy for I am holy. So one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to help to make us holy. And how do we get holy? We study the Word, we read, we pray, we confess our sins when we sin, and we try to live more like Christ. Right? Something we strive to do. If we could do it on our own, everybody would do it. We need the Lord to do it. We need the Lord to help us. We need to surrender to Him when He tells us something's wrong and look to Him to see what's right. So it's a growing process. Does anybody become mature overnight? Not usually. There are people that grow in their faith. When they accept Christ, they change, and you can see a drastic change. Doesn't mean you're matured, though. There are people that are old that are not mature yet in their faith. There are people that are young that are more mature than some older people in their faith. Depends on how much you're seeking the Lord and how much you're giving your life to Him. There's a guy called Reverend Don Grant, who says, as we surrender and build a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit, He'll pull us away from the things we have in our lives that don't please Him. Things used to satisfy you that were wrong don't have attraction anymore. Things you used to think are things you should do or say, you don't really want to say or do them anymore. The Holy Spirit pulls you away from that so you can grow in Christ, so you become more like Him. The point is, He's at work in our lives, and it should be evident. You should be able to see things happening and changes. There's a few points. The Holy Spirit makes us more like Christ. How does He do it? It's called sanctification. What does sanctification mean? It means being set apart. It's a stripping away of us to be more like Him, to be more holy. He used an illustration of an onion. You peel an onion, you just keep peeling layers and layers and layers away, right? And as people, we have layers that are there, that are built up, maybe from things that happened in the past, from hurts we've had or disappointments or prejudices or whatever happened to us. They have to be peeled away so God can get to the heart of the matter. Some people I know have had a bad experience with church or Christians or other things. The judgment is, you're all like that. I'm never going to church again because those people hurt me. Well, you can get that anywhere. Not just the church. You can get hurt anywhere. The thing is, are you willing to move on from that and say, there's more there that I need that I haven't gotten that God can do for you? So He has to take away those layers and replace them with godly characteristics. The Holy Spirit gives us power to witness. In Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. you shall be my witnesses. This is something you can't do without the Holy Spirit, or at least you can't do it very effectively. You ever try sharing with somebody on your own, and it failed drastically, and you're like, I wonder why that didn't work. You didn't pray about it, you didn't ask God about it, and it wasn't the Holy Spirit directing you, it was on your own, because you wanted to take out your little pad and say, yep, one more for me. Right? Sometimes we do that. But it's got to be the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us to be ready, to be praying and say, God, give me opportunities to share for you where I can be bold, but I can be gentle, and I can be clear, and I can be effective. So when you share with somebody, it becomes just a conversation. It's not you against them, it's you sharing something you have, something that they need. It gives us boldness to testify when usually we're afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7 encourages us, and it says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a power of love, but power, love, and self-discipline. Power without love is crushing, isn't it? But if you have power with love, that makes a difference. How you share with people, how you talk with people. It gives us power to love others and to be bold in what we share. And it'll be obvious if you're sharing for him or sharing for you. Is there a difference in that when you share for God or share for yourself? Because one becomes self-pride, doesn't it? Well, look how many people I shared with this week. How many did you share with? That's not the point. All the point is did you share? Right? Not how many you shared with. You don't have to give a number to God. He knows everything anyway. Third thing is he guides us into all truth. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. I think that's one important thing we need today. Don't we need to know about what the truth is today? So many things going around. Yeah, this is true, this is true, this is the truth. You need to look at the Lord and ask God, what's true? Keep me from being deceived, and he will. Keep me from being deceived for what's happening, what's going on, especially today. He illuminates the dark areas of our lives and gives us clear vision and purpose for what we're supposed to do. One of the main things, probably for college kids especially, since we have some college kids over here, coming up college anyway, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What do I do next? What should I study? Where am I supposed to go? How does God want to use me? All those questions that we ask. We need to pray and ask God, show me where I'm supposed to go. Most people change jobs every 7 years or whatever it is, or change careers or change their majors. I never changed mine. I pretty much knew I wanted to teach industrial arts when I was in high school because I loved the class. And then I followed all the way through. And then when I got out, God said, that's not what you're going to do for the rest of your life. I'm like, whoa. So he changed me in that. And then I had to take classes and all those things you have to do, right? And then we went on the mission field, which I never thought I'd go there either. So God can do anything he wants to do through us if we're willing to let him do it. When the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something, you're better just to do it. Because I'd always say to the kids in school, you know, we can do this two ways, guys. The easy way or the hard way. And they'd always go, easy way, easy way. And I said, that's smart. Because you don't want to go the hard way. But some people go the hard way. They still learn, but it's not as easy if they'd gone the easy way. The easy way is follow the Lord and do what he wants you to do. The Holy Spirit's our leader. We're supposed to follow him like we're his sons and daughters. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit are children of God. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful as slaves. Instead, receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own child. Isn't it kind of nice to be adopted into a family like that? A loving family that cares for you, that wants you. Fourth one, this is a big one. Ready for this one? The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Sin is something that offends God and holds us back. When we have sin, he brings attention to it in our lives. And it's called conviction. If we stop feeling conviction, then we have a bigger problem, don't we? That means you've hardened your heart and you're not listening to God anymore, doing what he wants you to do. John 16:8, and when he comes, he'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit taps you on your shoulder. You need to ask what's going on. Temptation itself is not a sin, but giving in to temptation is a sin. Right? It says Christ was tempted like we are, but didn't give in. You can be tempted, you don't have to give in. You can be tempted and walk away. You can be tempted and say no. So when the Holy Spirit judges us, we need to listen and not deny it. How many people do you see out there that are doing things that are wrong, and then you'll say something to them, they're like, I'm not doing anything wrong. You're like, you're missing something. But they've got to come under conviction. It's not your job to convict them. Maybe your job to kind of say something to them and then pray for them. God does the convicting. It's not our job to convict somebody else of their sin. The Holy Spirit reveals God's word to us. When Jesus walked on earth, he taught everywhere he went. And since he's not physically here now, the Holy Spirit works through us. I've had times sometimes when I do a sermon on some topic and somebody else will tell me, thanks for telling me about that. And I'm like, I never said that. Or the Holy Spirit will speak to people when we speak and he can have them hear things that we didn't even say, but he wanted them to hear. I don't know if you ever had that happen or not, but if you talk to people sometimes and they say, thanks for that advice, and you're like, what advice did I give you? And God uses our words when we're willing to speak to talk to others, especially when you use Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. I've had people before say to me, how do you know that the Bible's true? It's called faith, right? You read it, you believe it, you look at the evidence that Jesus was here, he existed, he was born, he was died, he was crucified, he was raised again. You look at all the evidence and you say, well, it's true. If I only take part of it as true, then how do I know what part is not true? You either take it all as true or you take none of it as true. And he's saying his word is true. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is talking about remembering what the Lord says, what the Bible says, trying to remember that. Trying to put it in your head, put it in your head, put it in your head. My wife does great at that. She knows all these places, all these passages, and all these things. Our brains work differently, which is probably good, right? I'm more of a mechanical repair, figure out kind of things, and she's more order process type things. I told you before, we went to Macedonia, and they speak Macedonian, obviously. Zdravo, kako ste? They would say stuff like that, and I'd be like, what? She wanted to know all the grammar. I didn't care. I just wanted the words. Gas station, food, restaurant. I didn't care about in between. I just wanted to say the word. But she wanted to know how to say it properly. So our brains work differently, and that's good because God uses us. But he's telling us to remember his word and to use it. If you have to keep a little card, keep it on your phone, whatever it is. There's all kinds of things they have now. We talk about different topics. You can look up and have it in your phone. Somebody's having a hard time. Okay, let's talk about this verse. Do those kinds of things. The Holy Spirit brings us closer to other believers because he talks about unity. We're supposed to be united together, aren't we? As a group, as a body, as a whole, as believers. You're not supposed to be pushing people this way, pushing people that way. Oh, did you hear about that person over there? Oh, did you see what they did over there? Does that happen to church? Yep. Hang around for a while. Should it happen to church? Nope. We should be encouraging one another, lifting each other up, not saying what they did wrong or whatever. Doesn't mean you can't joke around and have fun, but you're not cutting people down and cutting them down. If anything else, this is where you want to build those people up. If somebody falls, you don't want to just walk on top of them. You want to pick them up and say, can I help you? You messed up, so have I. What can we do to get you where you're supposed to be? That's what we should be doing. Acts 4:32. All the believers were united in heart and mind. They felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything that they had. You ever heard the phrase, there's power in numbers? Makes a difference, doesn't it? When we all join together for the same purpose, for the same cause, good things happen. We're all praying for the same things. We see things happen. That's why we share prayer requests on Sunday morning. That's why the prayer requests are in the bulletin. So you can go through those and pray for those things. And then the good thing is when people come back and say, yeah, this was the answer to that prayer. That's encouraging. So if you've been praying for things and you have an answer, share the answer so people can see what God has done and how he's working and encourage them. So we need to seek the Holy Spirit more fully. Take what we've learned and share it with others. And if you do, the Holy Spirit will produce fruit. You know Galatians 5:22. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Anybody have all those things? I'm missing a couple little slices out of there that I'd like to put in. And that's what I pray for God to do, is help me, Lord, fill in the rest of this so I have all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, not just a few, but I have all of them. That there's no judging, there's no anger, there's no meanness about anything, but to be loving and gentle and kind and patient and all those things that we're supposed to be. Self-control at all times, not just sometimes. Well, we're going to stand here for the end, so everybody just stand for a second. And after you do a funeral, you realize a lot of things. You don't really care a lot of times what people say or think about you, because you want them to know that they need Christ. They need to accept Christ in their life. And there may be people here, even though you may have gone to church all your life and never accepted Christ, you've just come to the church. And if you need to accept Christ, this is probably the day to do that. Say, Jesus, I need you to come in my life, make me the person you want me to be. Change me so that I'm not just a Christian by name, but I'm a Christian for real. It may be one that says, I need the Holy Spirit in my life today. I have something going on, I just need help with that. So if you just pray for me this morning, I'd like you to pray for me this morning. You can do that as well. Or maybe there's something else. Maybe you want to come to the front and be prayed for. That's okay as well. So as we close, if you want to come to the altar is going to be open this morning for you. If you don't want to come, that's okay. If you just want to raise your hand so that I know you want to be prayed for, you can do that as well. I know people don't have their eyes closed. That's okay. Okay. You want to be prayed for, or you have a need to be prayed for, raise your hand. We have Larry in the back, Steve, okay, in the front, Donna on here, Kelly. So as people are raising their hands, think of those people and pray for them as we close this morning. So we're going to sing, and if you want to come up front, you can do that. If you want to stay in your seat, that's okay as well. So I'm just going to pray, and if you want to come forward while we're praying, you can do that. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to move in and through this place, giving those strength that need strength, giving those healing that need healing. Those that raised their hands this morning, God, they need something from you. We pray especially for those who don't know you, who maybe have said, well, I'm a Christian, but they really weren't. They would accept you in their heart for real today. You would fill their lives, that you'd be with them. So, Lord, be with each one that raised their hand this morning. Just touch their lives in the way they need to be touched. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nothing can compare. You're our living hope, Jesus. It's your presence. Thank you.
ask that whatever each person walked in here carrying and what we need more of you, that we would receive more of your spirit, more of your healing, more of your power, more of your presence. And we thank you so much. And we just ask for the increase in your joy and your hope. We thank you, God, for this day. And we just ask that as we go from this place, that we know that we're just as close in every moment to you and your spirit, and that we commune with you every step of our journey. We bless your name, Jesus. Amen.